So we think that Korach's campaign was political, socio-political. Kikolei dakulam kidoshim, uvetocham Hashem, maduot tisnasu, who has the authority, who has the leadership. And certainly, as I mentioned, I think 2 days ago when I discussed the Ramban, he amplifies, there was a lot of people with anger and disappointment banding together, intersectionality. Levim were angry they weren't Kohanim. Ruvain, Dasan, Vavirim, they were angry that their Shevet had been displaced by Yosef. But it doesn't sound like this is a theological moment. It sounds like this is challenging Moshe's authority. Korach says nothing blasphemous against Hashem. He says nothing blasphemous against Eretz Yisrael. Now, it ends up being ideological and thereby theological because Moshe is more than just a political figure. Moshe represents the divinity of Torah, the concept of prophecy, the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh. So he's a person, but when you question that person, you're questioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, secondarily. But there's nothing inherently theological about Korach. He's not saying anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is like the Egel. This isn't even like the Meraglim. There's no disrespect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Korach's a nice, firm person. He's too fanatical. He's too ambitious. He's too jealous. He's too demagogic. But Rashi actually puts some words into his mouth based on the Medrash that makes him sound very different. But he doesn't put the words into Korach's mouth. Puts the words into Moshe's mouth. But very often in the Gemara, you can tell what Rabbi Yehuda holds by listening to Meir's response. So you can tell what Korach was saying by listening to Moshe's response. Okay, so this is the setting of the Rashi. Moshe says that tomorrow we're going to have the face-off, the showdown. Everyone's going to take Ketores and Hashem will select. Why Ketores? Ketores is the star of the show in Parshas Korach. Ketores features twice. Once in the Korach showdown and once the next day when the Magefa erupts. Ketores is the Magefa buster. Magefa vaccination. Magefa vaccine. Why Ketores? So listen to Moshe discussing the situation with Korach. He says, I'll paraphrase. B'darchei Akum, other nations and other religions, they have many priests. And they each have their own house of worship. We only have one Hashem, one Aron, one Torah, one Mizbeach, one Kohen Gadol. And you want there to be 250 Kohanim or 250 Kohen Gadols? We're not like those other cultures. We're not like those other religions. All of a sudden, it sounds like Korach had another agenda. And it's fascinating to think about the relationship between the two agendas. Korach wasn't saying, Moshe, I want you to retire, and I want to replace you with myself. How could you do that? 250 other people there. So we think the 250 people, they were just props for Korach to manipulate against Moshe. People had come to the protest. But Korach was really in it for his own egocentric agenda. This Rashi makes it sound like Korach was coming with a plan. Let there be 500 Kohen Gadols. What's the big problem? You'll be Kohen Gadol, I'll be Kohen Gadol, he'll be the Kohen Gadol. We're all Kohen Gadols. Let them all be Kohen Gadols. You can be a Kohen Gadol also. Rashi's saying, no. That's not the way Avodas Hashem works. The core of monotheism is one Hashem. One Beis HaMikdash, one site of worship, federalization, centralization, one Aron. That's why Bamos or Aser, fundamentally, that's why Hashem wants you to be one place, Latucha, Lizbach, you can't shecht outside of the Azara, because it's at the core of monotheism. We take this for granted because we live in a monotheistic world. But the world is so full of diversity and dichotomy that for thousands of years people assume there's a God of light and the God of darkness, the God of evil, the God of good, the God of water, the God of fire, the God of war, the God of peace, the God of love, the God of... Every single emotion, insect, item has a different God. And Korach may not have doubted that, but at the margins, his suggestion was going to challenge that. And that's why Moshe says, and Rashi continues, let's use Ketores. Why was Moshe using Ketores? Because who had been literally burnt by the Ketores? Nadav and Avihu. Why were they burnt by the Ketores? If you want to just distill their chait, there are many different descriptions of the actual chait, but if you want to conceptualize it, it's that they didn't have enough Yerushalayim. They came into the Beis HaMikdash when they were drunk or inebriated. They didn't follow the protocols of Pesach, the Paskin, without asking Moshe. They offered, which is the simple reading of the Pesach, they offered an unlicensed carbon. It's a special day. I could mark on your birthday, I'm going to come over and say it's a special day. Let me give you a cupcake. Let me give you a... Yeah, but that's because you're a human being, I'm a human being, I have the right to. The Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash is to be so careful to follow protocols, because protocol in the Beis HaMikdash protects the gravitas of the moment. It's a good phrase to remember. That's why in davening, we don't just make up our own davening. Davening, we're very, very careful to follow the matbeah shetavu chachamim, because it's part of korbanos. Korbanos is the only parak in Shas without a machlokas. It's the fifth parak of Zvachim. That's what we say it in the morning, because in the Beis HaMikdash there's no room for creativity. When it comes to kiddushin, you can marry a woman this way, marry a woman that way. All right, there are evikinani. When it comes to korbanos, in the Beis HaMikdash. So Nadav and Aviyu and their episode highlights Yirat Shemayim, that we don't understand Hashem, and when we're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His one place, these are two core ideas of monotheism. One is that Hashem is one and integrated. Two is that we can't understand Hashem. And they're related. We can't understand it because He's so integrated and indivisible. Because the only thing we can understand in our world is divisibility. I know this can be broken down into molecules. I know our mind works in division. There's nothing we know that's indivisible. Everything in this world can be broken down to smaller quantities, quantum mechanics. We break atoms down. So Hashem is unknowable, and therefore we have to submit to Him, and based on Mikdash, and there's only one, and we can't even understand who that one is. And this puts a whole different light on this protest. Korach wasn't just questioning Moshe's political power. He was also trying to re-landscape monotheism and bring it closer to paganism, which is really interesting because it opens up a whole Pandora's box of questions, which I'm not going to discuss now. Was that his real intention? And the political agenda was just the way of manipulating the crowd? Was Korach really questioning monotheism? Or were there two agendas, and what is the relationship between them? Everything in life is complicated. If you interviewed Korach, what would he have said? My real agenda is theological, but I'm just using the political discussion as a smokescreen. Or I've got two agendas, and what are the relationships between the two? But this is a whole different slant to the Korach. We read Korach, he's angry at Moshe, and he wants to upend Moshe. Rashi's description of Moshe's response makes it sound like Korach was campaigning for 250 Kohen Gadols. And that's a theological mistake. And Moshe's correcting him. So it's really interesting. As is the next section. When you read the parsha, be very careful to discriminate between Korach and Moshe's confrontation and Moshe and Dasan and Aviram's confrontation. Now this is the first time we meet Dasan and Aviram. In the Medrash, we meet them much earlier. Dasan and Aviram are the people, keep this in mind, physically violent with one another in Shemos, Rasha Lamasakes Reacha. And they're also the people who want to trick Moshe, or at least try to trip Moshe in Beshalach by leaving the man over rather than finishing the amount on that day as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had requested. Okay, so Moshe, after failing to convince Korach, turns his attention to Dasan and Aviram. And he just wants to speak with them. This is really important, Moser. Vayishlach Moshe l'kro l'dasan v'avirim b'nei Eliyav. Vayamru lo naleh. We're not coming. We don't want to speak with you. Okay, so Moshe is a pacifist. Moshe is a peacemaker. Always be a peacemaker. Tries again. Try again. Okay. I'm sorry. He doesn't try again. He tries again with Korach. Whatever. So they say, you took us out of Egypt. You told us of Zavas Chalav v'Dvash. You haven't brought us to that land. You haven't given us Sadeh v'Cherem. Now listen to this phrase. Ha'inei. Hanashim ha'im tenaker. You're poking our eyes out. Lo nala, we're not going to come speak with you. The simple reading is they're accusing Moshe of blinding everyone, metaphorically. Now, this is classic demagoguery. No one's blinding anyone. No one's poking any eyes out. There's a socio-political struggle going on. You could discuss the merits and the demerits. No one's poking anyone's eyes out. This is classic. It's called escalation, demagoguery. Try to be aware of it. When people all of a sudden start to describe events, interactions, relationships in exaggerated terms. Oh, you're doing this to me. You're killing me. You're sticking a knife into me. Slow down. Just bring it down. Lower the tone a little bit. Okay, that's the pasuk. But what does Rashi say? Rashi makes a really fascinating change. Dasan and Aviram are not accusing Moshe of poking out the eyes because of your socio-political elitism and arrogance. They're saying, we're not coming to speak with you. You've invited us to speak. We already told you we're not going to come to speak to you. And we're not going to come to speak to you even if you poke our eyes out. He's not accusing Moshe that your socio-political title is poking people's eyes out. Even if, Rashi says, listen to Rashi, Afilu atashalech lenakeres enenu. Even if you try to convince us to come speak with you, or to try to reach a resolution by poking our eyes out, we're not going to come. We are so committed to this fight, to this contest, that there's nothing you can do to bring us to the table to speak. There's nothing you can do. We don't want to talk to you, even if you poke our eyes out. See the difference? According to the symbol shot, they're accusing Moshe of poking people's eyes out. According to Rashi, even if you poke our eyes out. Basically, what are they saying? Moshe wants there to be communication. They don't understand communication. They don't want communication. In their mind, the only way to communicate is violence. The only way to get someone to do something that you want them to do is not to speak to one another, but to poke their eyes out. This is exactly Dasan and Aviram at Parsha Shmos. When they had some fight and squabble, according to the Medrash, they're Dasan and Aviram. And instead of resolving it through communication, their way of resolving it is beating each other to a pulp, beating each other's brains out, turning each other up. And the same story repeats itself here. It's eerie. It's spooky. Moshe says, why are you hitting each other? Just talk. And it's ironic because Moshe doesn't even know how to talk so well. He becomes a great talker, but he's not a good speaker. But that's essentially what Moshe is saying. Don't resort to violence. Talk it out. Communication. And it's the exact same point to Rashi. It's really important because if you don't read Rashi, that's not what's happening. They're not saying we're not speaking to you. They're saying we're not speaking to you because you're poking people's eyes out. Here they're saying, oh, you want to resolve this? Even if you poke, I didn't want to poke your eyes out. I said, I want to talk to you. They say, we're not going to talk to you even. So it's really important in life not to resort to violence, to learn communication. Now, when you're young and you're in high school, violence means beating each other up, hitting each other. Okay, you're getting to the age now where hopefully that's starting to fade. And you don't try to convince people. But there's a lot of other ways of violence that aren't communication. A lot of violent talk and violent behavior and passive-aggressive behavior. And one of the keys to relationships in life and to marriages, you'll see, and to childhood, is not to imposing your authority on a child is violence either too strictly, or sometimes parents hit their children, chas v'shalom. So you really have to learn, as you're starting to grow and to mature, violence is never an answer. Whether it's physical violence, whether it's verbal violence, whether it's psychological violence, communication is the answer. Sometimes you can communicate, sometimes you can't, and this is round two, literally. They're beating each other up in round one. We're supposed to stop fighting. Now, they say, okay, you want to talk? Knock our eyes out, and then we'll see what that accomplishes. I just want to talk to you. And they don't want to talk. Okay? One final interesting Rashi. Also, very important. Most of you, sorry I'm taking so much time. Okay? Moshe Davins Hashem. Okay? At this point, Moshe realizes that they're helpless, they're irredeemable, and he davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, let me just find the Rashi, he davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should be punished, but the other people, right, the other people should be saved. And he tells Hashem, Al Tefen El Min Chasam, don't embrace, don't answer their carbon. Now what carbon is Moshe probably referring to? Knows. Tomorrow's going to be the Ketores showdown. Don't accept their Ketores. But it's a strange word to call the Ketores a mincha. Why would you call it a mincha? So Rashi, if you just read these Rashis carefully, all of a sudden, like we read them so quickly, just run by. He says, "Finish shita a Ketores." The simple pshat means don't accept their Ketores. Rashi says, "A medrash, don't accept their chelek in the carbon sibur." Every day we bring a carbon tamid shel shachris, a carbon tamid shel ben or bayim that has a mincha with it, zolas and yayin. Their share, because that's a collective carbon, that's a carbon sibur, their share don't accept. What does Moshe care about their share in the carbon tamid? The answer is as follows. The toxicity of machlokas becomes much greater when you start to sever yourself from the community. There are two ways to make change in life, and this is really, really important, so I'm taking a little bit of extra time this morning. I really want you to hone in on this. A lot of you guys have talent, new ideas, you want to make change, you want to change the world, you want to bring new paradigms, new spirit. There are two ways to do it. One is inside out, and one is outside in. You could be an insider, you could be an outsider. You could refresh, or you can break. You can be an institutionalist. You can be anti-establishment. You know which one I want you to be. Internal. Inside out. Refresher. Institutionalism. It's always easy to say, this problem, that problem, that problem, this rabbi, that leader. I'm going to break it down. Burn it down. Brick by brick. Start anew. Leave the community. Leave the organization. Build something new. Try to break everything that exists. That's not the way to change in life. It's destructive on a personal level. There's going to be disagreements. But can those disagreements lead to change from within? Korach's flaw is Vayikach Korach. I'm going back to the first Rashi in the Pasuk. What is Vayikach Korach? Lakach es atzmo litzad echad lios nechlak mitoch eda. He's a structure breaker. He takes, I don't want to be part of this community. He takes himself, Vayikach Korach, I'm different. I'm not part of this. Can you make changes from within? Now, there are different types of within. The ideal within is to be part of an organization, a community of people, a shul, a school, a whatever, and to try to change from within. Sometimes you butt up against the wall and you can't make change from within. So you got to start a new institution, a new organization. But still, do you see yourself as within, or do you see yourself as confrontational? Okay, you're within the Jewish community. The Jewish community can have many schools. The Jewish community, and you're just one amongst many. Rather than saying, I'm starting a school in order to ruin that school. I'm starting a shul, so that shul shuts down. I'm starting an organization, so that, rather than saying, okay, that organization has its ideals, has its values. My ideals and values are different, so I'll try to start something parallel. But you're still within. You're still an insider. It's just a broader insider. You're within the Jewish community. You're within the local community. But you feel, rightly or wrongly, the community needs another kashrus, another rabbi, another whatever you feel. But it's an attitude. It's a modality. Do you see yourself, no, we're going to break this rabbi down. We're going to break this organization down. And the best way to do it, or you say, I'm part of a larger community. They have their approach. There's another approach. Korach fails at that level. Vayikach Korach. He sees himself as an outsider. Lakach asmo l'tzad echad, l'os nechlak menedet. It's the first Rashi in the Torah. Someone says, you know what? Obviously, there's no solution to this. Obviously, this person has to be eliminated and swallowed by the earth because he's breaking the social fabric. Hashem, his last element of belonging to the community is a share in the Korban Tamid. Take away that share. Once you take away that share, then his fate is sealed. And it's sadly enough, it's a very sad picture of Moshe, because Moshe is always the hero of people. He's always trying to give people a second chance. But he realizes the Korach is irredeemable. He says, you know what? It's necessary, but he's just saying, obviously he's lost his share in the Korban Tamid. I don't even think like Moshe is asking Hashem as much as saying, at this point, I realize he doesn't have a share in the Korban Tamid. Why? Because he was mafki her share. He woke up one morning and said, the one shekel I have in the Korban Tamid isn't mine anymore? No. Figuratively, by leaving the Eda, the Korban Tamid no longer covers him, and that's a sin. You can argue, you can commit mistakes, you can have different opinions. Try, it's so easy to be a revolutionary by breaking things down. That's not the way revolutions work. Revolutions work by people who have the strength of character to be institutionalists, to be part of something larger than themselves, but to try to make change from within. If you can't, okay, let's have another parallel track, but within the community, within the structure. Don't fall into that trap that you're going to be the structure breaker. You're going to break the community. That's not a good place to be. Okay, three different Rashis. One Rashi, Korach had a theological platform. Many Kohanim, many places. No. One. Another Benavia will remind you about how careful you have to be about the oneness of Hashem. Number two, Korach, Dasan, and Aviram are violent people. Their solution is not communication, but violence. So it was in Parsha Shmos. Evidently so it is here, according to Rashi. Again, according to the Simul Shot, they're accusing Moshe of poking people's eyes out, which is demagoguery, but whatever. But according to Rashi, they're saying, you want to talk? You're not going to get us to talk, even if you poke our eyes out, because in their mind, that's the way you get people to talk. And then finally, Moshe says, Korach's real crime is he's no longer part of the community. Vayikach Korach. So he's lost his share in the Korban Tamid. Obviously, that's not going to help him. I don't think Moshe is like trying to trick Hashem and say, by the way, Hashem, if you accept their Korban Tamid, there's no way you can kill. Saying they've lost their share in the Korban Tamid. I see what's happening. The writing's on the wall. I see where this is landing. Okay. Yes.